Blog Talk Radio.
I mean, we only built for Cuban links.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dev, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Roll with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26 or the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Greetings, War Room Nation. Welcome back to the roundtable for another edition of your favorite show. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and we got a full house today with Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, Akil Bayon, and Paul Johnson, of course, will join us in a few. We got a great show for you today. We'll give our final thoughts on Super Bowl 47, and we'll discuss other big stories going on in the world of sports. As usual, join us in the JW Philly Realty chat room right now at blogtalkradio.com/ The War Room, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports to join in the conversation. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Before we jump into this rundown, we'd like to shout out the team. The future of sports talk radio has arrived, so be sure to listen to Roy and Chris on the Broad Street line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Also catch Mojo and the crew of the season ticket on Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio as well. Finally, check out Brandon and Daniel of Sports Trap Radio on Saturdays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on ueradiolive.com. Don't worry, if you can't catch them live, you can hear and watch all of our partner shows at warroomsports.blogspot.com. In addition, don't forget to catch us in syndication 3 times on Fridays on newviberadio.com. That's 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on fatsradio.com. But right now, the birthday segment is upon us.
It's my birthday! Yay!
Brothers, brothers from different mothers. What's going on? What's going on?
Mazel tov.
It is what it is, man. You know, I'm chilling like a chilling.
Yeah, ready to once and for all wrap up this whole Super Bowl coverage for the year?
I'm tired of that game,
you know. Because I know Jimmy done ran out of gas like 3 days ago.
Yo, have I ever. I just want to talk about Alicia's bubble. My fault.
I'm ready to talk about Beyonce shaking it and Kelly Rowland baking it. And
so basically we done moved on from everything game related. All right, well, let's get into these birthdays real quick. Birthdays are brought to you by DirecTV. If you'd like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including the NFL Sunday Ticket, you better go ahead and get that and save up for next year. Go to our website, warroomsports.com, click on the DirecTV logo and order yourself a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. If you call yourself a sports fan, you got to have DirecTV. All right, the first birthday today is one Mr. John Matthew Stafford. Matt Stafford turns 25.
Yay!
B. Austin, what do you think of when you think of Matt Stafford?
Immensely talented, strong arm. He has a binky, though, a pacifier in the form of Megatron. He throws the ball to Megatron regardless of what the play call is. It could be a fullback dive. On second and one, and the ball is going to Megatron. So, you know, that kind of skews both his numbers and your opinion of him because you want to be able to see him utilize the other weapons on the team. One of their receivers even started itching. He started mitching up because he feels as though he don't get the ball.
He's no longer one of their receivers because they released him yesterday. So.
Yeah, they got rid of him. He wasn't a team player. Leon needs the ball. But I mean, he's got all the tools to be good. There's a lot of things he needs to work on. I think getting off of that dependence will help him from stunting his growth. So,
Jimmy, Matthew Stafford.
When I think of Matthew Stafford, I think of that 5,000 yard season and how any kind of sports argument we always get into, we talk about how numbers are inflated or numbers don't mean anything. He's like the go-to person that people jump to. Well, look what Matthew Stafford did. And Austin pretty much everything else he was to say. I would like to see him play without Megatron because it's like a gift and a curse. Because, you know, Megatron may make him a little overrated, but at the same time, Megatron also takes away from what he's able to do. You know what I mean? Like, cause he just,
it takes over. It takes. I see what you're saying because it might, like, mess up his maturity as a quarterback.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you won't learn how to go through your progressions. You don't learn how to spread the ball around like you probably should. He's, like Austin said, he's immensely talented. So, I mean, he definitely has it in him. And we can't say that, you know, there's no way you can say he doesn't have it in him because even though he does have that binky, he didn't throw 5,000 yards just to one dude. So, I mean, he's a good quarterback, probably is a little overstated because he is a stat monster. But, you know, I guess that's
get that
price
Wayne
you pay
Gatter
when you're playing with somebody as great as Megatron. Doc Bay, what do you think? What do you think of Matthew Stafford?
It's interesting. You guys touched on all the points because he does put up crazy numbers, and then people are kind of like, man, is he elite? Is he up there with the Brady and Rodgers and Manning and Breeze? But, I mean, he did throw for 5,000. They did go to the playoffs the year before, but – you know, it seems like people still need to see more out of him. I mean, I know me, I wasn't a believer in their team, so I didn't pick them to make the playoffs this year. But that's beside the point. I mean, he's a talented quarterback. I guess you could throw him up in there with that Romo, Stafford, and Jay Cutler below that level,
that's a good level. That probably is the level that he falls in. Like I said, I've always thought he was a little overrated, but that doesn't mean I think he's bad. As a matter of fact, I've seen, you know, Matthew Stafford lead a lot of fourth quarter comebacks, you know, in his time.
And we know 12-year veterans
score. They score in bunches when they're losing a game late. So I mean, I think he has a lot of potential. But let's move on. The next one is. The point guard of Jimmy's basketball team, one Mr. Stephen John Nash. Steve Nash turns 39 today.
It's my birthday! Yay!
Jimmy, salute your point guard, man. What's up?
Yo, I got to keep it a bean, though. Honestly, I've never really been a Steve Nash fan. Now, I have to root for him now, but even when he was in Phoenix, I was never a Steve Nash fan. Because first off, let me keep it real, though. One of the reasons I dislike Steve Nash is because I think he jerked Kobe for one of those MVPs. I've been holding that against him for several years.
And I think he jerked Shaq for the other one. So
fair enough.
It's kind of like those MVPs. Like they put him in a class where he doesn't belong, in my opinion. Because you look at his MVPs, and you know you look at some of the other guys who are Hall of Fame players, are great players, and you look at the fact that he has more MVPs than them. It kind of makes me look at him sideways. But with that being said, he's a great player. I mean, I don't even know how to say great. He's a good player. He's an excellent player. Let's use that word there. But he is kind of overrated.
Is he elite?
I wouldn't put him in the elite. I definitely wouldn't put him elite. Just because.
What are we talking, the elite of all time, you mean?
You talking about elite of all time or elite right now? Or even elite in his prime, which was when he was
elite,
winning the
NBA. Elite in his prime. I'm looking at it. He's 39, so he's a middle-aged man. We can't, but.
Absolutely.
All time.
But when you think when he was winning the MVPs, that was when? What was the year that he won the MVPs, if you know the top of your head?
05, 06.
Okay, who were the top point guards at that time in 05, 06?
This is going to take a while. So.
Yeah, it's going to take a while. This is before the Chris Paul, Deron Williams like run, so to speak. Gary Payton
All right, well, look, somebody jot it down. We'll go back to it.
Yeah,
we'll go back to it at the during our NBA segment because we should have some time at the end of that. So somebody jot that down.
Is Steve Nash elite in his prime? Listen
all right, so, Bayon, you got anything on Steve Nash real quick?
Man, offensively, he does everything that you would ever want a point guard to be able to do. He plays with great pace, tempo. He can shoot the three at a high clip, 40%+. 50% from the field. He can make every single pass with either hand. Great at running the pick and roll. I was a fan of Steve Nash in Phoenix during the regular season. And I would even root for them. Actually, I didn't like San Antonio, so I would root for them against the Spurs. But then all of a sudden, it's like that ship just stopped. And it's like, whoa, playoff basketball, what happened? And then you all know my sentiments about him in defense. You know, it is what it is. But offensively, I mean, excellent great player, and he should not have won both of those MVPs. So there you go. Oh, he's also African, Canadian, American since he was born in South Africa, but although he is of European descent. So he's like an African, European, Canadian, American.
Africaner. He's an Africaner.
I don't think there's nothing left to say here. So we're going to go ahead and move on to one Mr. Jawan Antonio Howard. He turns 40 today, another member of the Fab Five. The Austin, Jawan Howard.
Jawan Howard catches a lot of flack because he was one of the original mega contract dudes. Like, when you think back to Larry Johnson and you think back Sean Kemp, and he was one of the first dudes to get, like, a $70 million extended year deal. And why
is Yeah, it was like 105, actually.
And yeah, it was. I shorted him about 30. And they were like, they was like, for who, for what? When you look at the numbers on his contract and then you look at his statistical performance, people get mad and they look and say that Jawan Howard was raping us and stealing from us. And they're probably right. But taken away from the contract, he has had a very, very productive and successful NBA career. And those of us that have resided in the DMV know him for something else. His ability to juggle baby mamas. there's no one that can juggle baby mamas like Jawan.
I remember, you know, many a time down at the Verizon Center watching Wizards games, watching Jawan Howard get booed because the fans in D.C. didn't think he was producing enough for his $105 million contract. You know, that comes with the territory. So if you get that kind of money and you aren't an absolute superstar afterwards, then that's how they treat you. But the Wizards were kind of forced into that that contract because I think Miami had an offer on the table for him that forced their hand. Jimmy, what do you remember about Fab Fiver Jawan Howard?
He's the only member of the Fab Five championship ring, and Jawan Howard also.
Is he really though?
Jawan Howard also, his time in the league, had one of the sharpest fades in the entire league and entire sport. My man stayed with a fresh cut. I swear he got a cut before every game. And when I think of him, I think of that. Right. Now, my man had a fresh fade, especially sitting on the bench. You got a chance to see that fresh fade that he rocked.
We were acquainted with some of his homies. I believe his barber lived with him because, you know,
He had to.
In that area, there was nobody out there cutting as sharp as his was anyway. So there was no way he went out into the street to get that.
He was anti-Ed Reed, man. He came sharp, John, every game.
Bayon, Jawan Howard.
I think about when he was going after Lance Stephenson and was ready to, like, you know, beat up Lance Stephenson, and he's, like, twice the age as Lance Stephenson in the playoffs last year.
He had to fill a role, Kill. He had to fill a role. What else was he doing on the team?
Had to do something to get them checks.
Yeah. He got to play big brother. You know, I'm going to protect the young bucks. We're good.
And that's about it. I mean, he doesn't bend his elbow on his jump shots, but he still made them. He had a sharp shape up.
He's Jay Glenn, though. He had a nice little 15 to 16 footer that was nasty to look at, but winning.
It was ugly, though. But no, Jimmy's right. He's the only member of the Fab Five with a chip, and of the three who were mainstays in the league, you know, he got the least attention out of all of them. But, you know, he stuck around long enough to coattail one. Is one Mr. German. I said German. George Herman Ruth Jr., a.k.a. Babe Ruth. Rest in peace. He was born February 6th, 1895, died August 16th, 1948. Jimmy, what are your thoughts of the Babe?
I think of fast living, fast women, and baseball. Babe Ruth is one of those guys who literally his name is bigger than the sport he played. I mean, you know, a Ruthian feat is actually the word Ruthian is in the dictionary as a word. Amazing one. Crazy feat. Like, he's bigger than the game of baseball itself. And with that being said, he still wasn't a unanimous vote into the Hall of Fame.
He's one of the reasons why I really would like for my son to learn how to play baseball. I don't plan for my son to be in his mold, but how many other sports can you say, especially what they're paying baseball players now and the fact that it's guaranteed, but how many sports can you show up to fat, out of shape, drinking beer, smoking cigarettes, but being known as the greatest who's ever done it. So,
Yo, my man was a master fornicator, too. And he still played at a high level.
He lived the life.
He's a legendary fornicator, man.
My man got a candy bar named after him. Yo, he gets a candy bar. Yo.
Baby
so,
Ruth.
He can tell the John's giving him a box offering. Yo, get on the Baby Ruth.
Yeah, I mean, think about this with Babe Ruth and all his success, the numbers he put up when he played, his legendary status. He still was not a unanimous vote into the Hall of Fame. How is that possible?
Hall of Fame, they crazy, man. They crazy. But Doc Bay finishes up here. You got any thoughts on the Babe?
Man, imagine if he was in the steroid era. He might have hit 120 home runs.
I don't know. Mixing all the stuff that he mixed, if he took some steroids, he might have OD'd. He might have killed himself by mistake.
He got to the plate and hit a 700-yarder and died.
All right, man. Those are the birthdays for the day. Jim, tell everybody what happened this week while they were on the grind.
While you were on the grind, it's brought to you by Bay Financial Services. To all you income tax ballers, go to our website, warmansports.com, and click on the Bay Financial Services logo, or look under our sponsors and our partners tab to find out Bay Financial Services. Also, a quick rest in peace shout-out to Jay Dillon, side note. Anyway, first story I want to talk about is this, the Dallas Cowboys. And I want to ask you guys a question. We actually have a video dropping on this tomorrow, but Akil, Doc Bay, you are the resident Dallas Cowboys fan. Let me ask you first. Are the Cowboys still America's team?
Let me read to Akil real quick why this has even come up this week.
Okay, go ahead.
Buck Harvey of the San Antonio Express News, he wondered in his writing how long the Dallas Cowboys will retain the title America's team if they keep piling up mediocre seasons. So he writes, and I quote, "Mostly the Cowboys have become the Kardashians of the NFL with no discernible talent, famous for just being famous." Kill, defend your boys, man.
Oh, I mean, it's really nothing to defend. Like, I mean, we suck as an organization. And I forgot to left out, I know we were on a Facebook page or one of our YouTube, we're talking about Tony Romo on our YouTube channel about Tony Romo. I listed how all the bad decisions that Jerry Jones has made to screw up our money and tie up our money. And I forgot to leave out that we're going to be fined something like, $10 million from the salary cap last year and this year. So, which prevents us from signing even more players. So Jerry's great at marketing. I totally agree with that article. We don't do anything. We haven't done squat. There's all these expectations. And they got on Emmett Smith like 3 years ago when he said, 4 years ago, when he said, man, I think the Cowboys are going to go like 9-7 or 7-9. And they happened to win 13 games. But since then, all we've done is 8-8. So, yeah, regardless.
So they probably gave Emmett a bunch of I told you so during that whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
And
hey,
that was
Bay,
only
Doc
one
Bay.
Year. You know what I'm saying?
Doc Bay, I want to take it a whole other route. It depends upon how you define success, because people forget a lot of times when you talk about franchises and sports that it's also a business. And success a lot of times is not defined by wins and losses. It's defined by your bottom line. And the fact of the matter is they're America's team because – you can, as a matter of fact, you can't travel anywhere without finding a Cowboys fan. And it's sort of like I was saying yesterday, to be a Cowboy means something than to be any other, part of a team. If you say I'm an Atlanta Falcon, it doesn't hold the same weight as saying, hey, I'm a Dallas Cowboy. That's something that Jerry has built in terms of, like you said, his marketing prowess and also his ability to make his organization hold a certain amount of value that has nothing to do with wins and losses. I mean, it's kind of crazy when you think about it. It's like they don't have to win.
Right, Jim, and my thing on this subject is it depends on what you're looking at America's team to mean anyway, because kind of like what Jimmy alluded to, if you're just going by the pure meaning of the phrase, like I would agree still that they're America's team because, like Jimmy said, you can't go anywhere in America without finding some Dallas Cowboys fans, whether they're from Texas, not from Texas, never been to Texas and don't plan on going to Texas. There's Cowboy fans everywhere you look.
Listen, man.
So
I have stories.
By the pure man, I do know. I do know that by calling them America's team originally, it did have something to do with the success, the wins, the championships. So I kind of get where he's going, asking the question, like if they keep piling up mediocre seasons, can we still call them that? But I'm sticking by the pure meaning of the phrase. Like, why can't they be? They have so many people from outside of, you know, where the team is held, who's not even from there, who root for this team. So who else is America's team? You know, a lot of those teams, like the Steelers have a big contingency all over the place, but a lot of those people are displaced Steelers fans. They're from Pittsburgh. They just don't want to live in Pittsburgh.
Now check this out. Maybe, hey, the Cowboys, if you look at it, probably still should be called America's team because the Cowboys are operating at a mediocre level, and America has been operating at a mediocre level. So,
Another good point.
I'm not jumping on that one, man. I'm a patriot, man.
Yo, he's just the Cowboys and where they come from. Your whole country.
Just your country.
What are your thoughts,
you know,
real quick, Beyonce?
I want y'all to check out the video on War Room Sports TV. I give my thoughts. But I will say this. Jerry Jones is a master marketer. And that's just echoing everybody else's sentiments. And we've said it before. We'll probably say it again. You can take a beautiful package and wrap it up with the greatest bow and the nicest picture. And, you know, people get excited to see that package. Even if they open it up and there's poop inside, the fact that the package is so beautiful, they got some poop in a great package. And as Akil alluded to, in today's society, in today's American society, we've grown accustomed to fancy packaging of poop. You can even look at television programs. You can look at reality TV. We consume poop in America. Sad to say.
I mean, we've definitely become a society that's accepting of a lot of mediocrity. So, you'll get the rest of Beyonce's thoughts on WarRoomSportsTV.com.
We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed, that America has a very serious problem. Not only does
No doubt.
All right, let's move on, though.
America's poop is wrapped up. America's
This is a sad story right here, man. Delaney Walker, his aunt and uncle were killed by drunk drivers after leaving the Super Bowl, where they attended the Super Bowl to watch him play. Quiet as kept, he's the 49ers' best player, but that's just my opinion. It's a very sad story. They were leaving the Super Bowl after watching their nephew play and killed by a drunk driver, man.
Yeah, it was crazy. I don't know if they were driving, because they're from Victorville, California, so I'm not sure if they were driving all the way back to Victorville, but the story goes, the young woman, they were stopped on the shoulder of I-10 and La Place, you know, just a little bit west of New Orleans. So I'm figuring maybe they were driving all the way back, because if you're stopped on the shoulder at 5:30 a.m., you might have been, like, taking a nap, taking a break or whatever. But they said, you know, they were
James Jordan.
Yeah, exactly. They were hit by a car driven by 26-year-old Nicole Thompson of Houston. Both cars caught on fire. They couldn't find Delaney Walker's family until they put the blaze out. Of course, the drunk 26-year-old, basically left the accident unscathed. It always seems to go down that way. The drunk driver.
Yeah.
Oh, never gets hurt, and other people die from it, man. That's a sad story. I mean, the dude's going through it. He just lost the Super Bowl. They were at the Super Bowl with him. You can see pictures online of them at the game,
man.
And then this happens the next day. Come on, man.
Yeah, that's
crazy. Rest in peace. My condolences and prayers extended to the Walker family, man. And what else can you say?
Yeah, there's nothing you really can't say, man. Drunk driving is out of control. It seems like we always have a drunk driving story about once a month on our show.
Don't drink and drive, man.
Yeah,
don't drink and drive.
I really have nothing to say. It's a sad story, but our condolences from the War Room to Delaney Walker and his family, man. Rest in peace. How about this story here? I've heard a lot of stories about mothers not wanting their children to go to certain schools when it comes to, you know, being recruited. But this player decided he was going to Arkansas. His mother took his letter of intent that he was to fax over, bolted and disappeared, and they couldn't find it because she didn't want him to go to Arkansas. She wanted him to go to a school in Florida. I mean,
yeah, she
wasn't. I've heard stories like this, but like this is crazy.
Yeah. I think,
yo, he was an ESPN 150 running back, the dude Alex Collins. Yeah, they wanted him to play for the U down in Miami. So, yeah, like Jimmy said, this was actually they were at the school. This wasn't even a fax situation, Jim. They were at the school, and she went in to sign the papers, and then she just took the papers and bounced. B. Austin, what do you make of that, man? What do you make of that?
I guarantee
you cut her a check.
That several things here. He and his mother listened to the same music. He and his mother are probably in the same generation, and she is absolutely under the age of 35.
Wow.
That's all I have to say.
Well, from what I read on the story, they said, you know, that's a lot of pressure from his family for him to stay closer to home and go to the U. It's weird, like, even if that's what you want for your kid, you know, if they make a grown-up decision on their own, I just don't see this as being a way to handle the situation, you know what I'm saying? Because you wonder in these type of, you know, I don't want to prejudge because I don't really know their situation, but a lot of times in these situations of highly recruited athletes, you know, would he even have the opportunity to go to school if it weren't for this? So instead of being proud, you know, on that side of things,
yeah,
she's going to take his letter of intent
about,
and bounce out.
Yeah.
Probably because, you know, because Nevin Shapiro got a check for her at the U. That's something else. But
it's crazy.
Do you think that this woman, real quick, do you think that this woman checks her son's grades?
I don't know him, man. I ain't even going to judge, man.
She's a sister mom, like Jimmy called Dev Bryant's sister mom.
Sister mom.
That's what they call it. When they're that young, they grow up with their kids, they call sister mom. But no, I've seen one time where a guy was going to Auburn, and his mom wanted him to go to Alabama, and he went to Auburn. No, it's the other way around. He was going to Bama, and his mom wanted
to
go to Auburn.
The tattoo.
Yo,
right?
she sat there when he was on TV. And she straight wore Auburn, like, Auburn clothes to the event where he was, like, on TV doing his job. I mean, you've also seen even Barry Sanders, the great Barry Sanders. His father was pissed that he went to Oklahoma State. And
his
whole college career.
it's crazy, man. It's definitely crazy. But, you know, Arkansas is still waiting to see what it is. They couldn't really – When they were asked, they couldn't really speak about him because he wasn't signed. So they just had to play out the way it's going to play out. It's probably the best decision for him. I mean, look at all the
get away from
you get. Yeah, I mean, get away from them. He'll probably play earlier at Arkansas. You know, I mean, that's a man.
Get away from Rick Ross and gunplay.
Yo, Arkansas at this point is a better program than you, but that's either here or there. Let's talk about the Forbes top 10 most hated athletes list. Deb, do you have the top 10 most hated athletes list?
Yes, sir. You want me to go from one up or 10 down?
No, we're gonna start at 10 and work our way up to number one.
All right, number 10 is Tony Romo. Number 9, Kobe Bryant. Number 8, Kurt Busch, race car driver. Number 7, Michael Vick. Number 6, Alex Rodriguez. Number 5, Metta World Peace. I know people think he's crazy, but who hates him? Number 4, Jake Cutler. Number 3, Tiger Woods. Number 2, Manti Te'o. And number 1, understandably right now, Lance Armstrong. So what do you guys think about this? Like, the common theme is off the court and off the field stuff, but I was about to say, some dudes like Tony Romo, man, he doesn't really – I think Tony Romo is hated more for who he plays for. You know, he plays for America's team, as we just spoke about.
I think he's hated because at his height he was dating Jessica Simpson, and a lot of these guys that voted wanted to date him.
No, but I really do think it's a situation, what we just talked about when we spoke about America's team. Like, they get so much hype – And you get so much celebrity being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, and it might be undeserved hype. And if he keeps coming up short, it causes a lot of people to have a lot of disdain for him. I don't know why it turns into hatred, but hey.
Tony Romo. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Jim.
What I was saying is I hate Tony Romo too, but it's for a different reason. And the reason I hate Tony Romo is because I try to take up for him a lot, and I try to tell people he's not that bad. But every time he gets on national TV, he does things that make that I can't even defend. You know
yeah,
what I mean? He'll make a play.
I've been an apologist.
Make a play, I'm like, damn, man. Like, I'm trying to take up for you, but every time I try to take up for you, you do the dumbest thing, and I can't even defend that.
Yeah,
so,
I've been an apologist, and he's embarrassed me as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's where I'm at with Tony Romo.
Yeah. Anybody else on the list that stands out? I mean, a lot of the people I expect to be on that type of list, you know, Kobe,
of course,
those kind
Kobe.
Of cats. I don't really know why Meta is on there. I know people think he's crazy and weird, but I don't
Dallas
really know too
Palace.
Many people. Yeah, it might have been a lot of people voting in Detroit. Yeah, I mean, other than that,
think,
it is what it is.
You know.
I think the fans, anyway, spend too much energy creating personal feelings towards athletes that they don't know anyway, but that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, that's a whole show.
You had
again,
one
again,
last thought, B. Austin, before I tell everybody what
yeah,
the deal
is. Yeah, Kobe is the competitive greatness thing, man. People can't relate to a competitor of his level that
I
won't
mean,
give hugs off the court.
Nah, but he went to Denver and took the hole, so. It's more than just his competitive greatness, man. Because before
he plugged the hole.
We're not gonna get into that, man. We ain't gonna get into that. All I'm saying is he ain't got his big Ben Roethlisberger on. So there's more to that than just his competitive greatness, you know.
Don't say nothing. Why isn't he on the list? Never mind. Go ahead.
Hey, tell everybody how to get in touch with us, y'all.
All right, so y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the Memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise. Click the Blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All Sphere and Sports and War blog. And click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, download our free War Room Sports mobile app, and to watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To enter the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook and Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show. To call in and speak with us, dial the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. So let's go ahead and get into a few hot topics. Hot topics are brought to you by Audible. Is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Well, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers hands-free, stress-free, while doing whatever else you want to do at the very same time. In other news, pitchers and catchers report, Jimmy. I know that's your time.
They report
some teams start on the 11th, and then you got a few that trickle down the 12th, 13th, and 14th. It's you know, the Super Bowl's over. Basketball season is midway through, so it's time for that marathon that we call the MLB season. So in the coming weeks, you know, we'll be talking a little bit more about MLB stuff. There was a baseball card from 1865 that went in an auction for $92,000. The guy who purchased it, on top of that, there was an 18% premium. So the guy brought it. The guy that brought it said that he was buying it for his son as an investment for his son for the years to come. But the card was an old photo of the Brooklyn, what was the name of the team? It slipped my mind, man. Did you guys see the story on this?
Brooklyn Camels? Let me check.
Yeah, that went over everybody's head, man. But nonetheless,
okay.
1865, man?
Yeah. Now, the card just showed 9 members and the coach of the Brooklyn Atlantics. They were known as the first champions of baseball. They were the founding club of the National Association of Baseball Players. And this was supposedly like one of the very first baseball cards ever. The auction, they said they hoped that they would sell it for like $500,000. But, you know, $80,000 plus the 18% premium, bringing the price to like $92,000. I mean, that's not bad for a baseball card, so they need
it's
to
stop. It's a recession, man. It's a recession.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? They're complaining because they got almost $100,000 for a damn baseball card.
What year was that card? What year was it?
1865.
The same year as the 13th Amendment, man.
That was the same year. Yeah. Come on.
They played 18 games.
Yo.
That was their whole season.
That's like 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, man. That's a long time.
That's all
but
they could play, though. Because if you look at the card, they only got 9 players and a coach. So what if somebody got hurt? They're like, man, we got shortened this season so nobody get injured.
Could have left some plays, bless.
According to Kobe, you're supposed to play hurt. But listen, though, the thing about it is this. That's very old. But when you said that and said they wanted $500,000, I was thinking about those rules of basketball and the price they got when
Kansas.
They got up in the millions. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn. And that wasn't, I don't know what year that was, but it wasn't 1865. So
they got
more than
they expected for that.
Absolutely. So I could see them imagining that they would get more than this, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Supposed to be one more card in circulation somewhere. Watch they get like $500,000 for theirs. The funny thing is it was purchased at a yard sale somewhere. The person purchased that card and a bunch of other stuff and left paying like $100. And now
Damn. They
got $92,000 from it from an auction. So first of all, whoever sold that in a yard sale, like shame on you, stupid. But
Damn.
But anyway, man, you know, yesterday was National Signing Day for college football and we just talked about the Arkansas recruit whose mom bolted off. But, again, signing day was ruled by Bama and the SEC. Bama, again, had the number one recruiting class, and the SEC had 6 out of the top 10 recruiting classes. So it looks like the dominance is going to go on for at least another 4 years.
Who didn't they sign? Alvin Kamara, one of the top running backs, couple other guys. Oh, man. Yo.
He signed, of course, because, you know, Jimmy always praises them for their offensive line. He signed 3 more brutes up front that were like 3 of the top guys in the high school class. So, you know, Nick Saban, he knows what he's doing. That's
Listen,
just
man,
bottom
old
line.
Damn,
I mean,
old damn Todd.
Yeah, I mean, because even if by now you've made a name for yourself where recruiting may get a little easy, he still knows where to recruit, you know, how to recruit. He knows the importance of those brutes up front and what it can do for the rest of the team. Man, if you got the brutes up front going, you know, the rest of the team can struggle and you can still get it done because they're making the game easier for everybody. So
listen, man, even Ole Miss got like the number one player, didn't they? The guy was the number one overall.
Yeah, they got the number one overall.
Robert Kendiche, the DN, and Laramie Tunsil.
Yeah,
I watched
yeah.
some film on
number
him.
Number one at their position.
This dude looked like he looked like he was working out for the pros. He looked like he was working out for the NFL draft.
Kandichi's yeah. just this is a way stop for him. He's just relaxing.
He's going because he has to go. Like,
he's going for the exercise. He's going
yeah.
for the exercise, and then he's going to be on where he's supposed to. They also signed a number one prospect at safety, Tony Connor, and Austin Golson.
Right.
Which is a top 5 offensive lineman. So they're stacked.
Yeah, man, all I'm saying is this. Congress going to have to step in and do something about the SEC.
You said Congress going to have to step in.
It just ain't right, all right?
The funny thing is, though, you know, Brian Kelly, he did his thing. Here's the top 10 classes before we move on. Of course, Alabama at 1, Florida at 2, Ohio State at 3, Notre Dame at 4, Ole Miss at 5, Michigan at 6, LSU at 7, Texas A&M at 8, Florida State at 9, and Georgia at number 10. And then, you know, right after that is like Auburn,
Georgia,
UCLA, Clemson. So, I mean, the teams that we expect to be in that mix, you know, the ones we talked about all season that could possibly compete with the SEC, you know, the Ohio States. I don't want to say Notre Dame can compete because they really showed they couldn't compete with Alabama in the championship game. You know, Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Michigan, you know, they got some of the better classes out there. So we'll see how it shakes out for them. Or for
how did Penn State do?
A longer run. Penn State, I think they came in, I think they were like in the 20s somewhere.
Yeah. I said it for humor, but the reality is they had a great signing day.
They were 24.
Had a very strong signing day.
Penn State was 24. So, I mean, it's not terrible for a team that's, you know, on all kinds of probation.
Considering they're on probation, the way they're on probation, you would think they would have a weaker signing class than somebody in the MEAC.
I was in just the MEAC every chance he gets.
What's interesting is I remember we were having a debate a while ago about the SEC dominance and can anybody, you know, uproot them from that dominance. And then it's interesting to see Ohio State coming at number 3. So it's like Urban Meyer's on a recruiting trail getting his SEC Ohio on.
Oh, yeah. Definitely when we had that debate, Ohio State was the main team that could recruit. Yeah. You got a coach who – has a pipeline through those down south boys. So
65% of college coaching is your ability to recruit. 65%.
Where you get that number from?
Oh, man, that's more than
But also, Austin, your ability to recruit stems from, you know, your win loss record in the past. Like if you're a loser, it don't matter who you are. You know, if Nick Saban was a bum, then Nick Saban wouldn't be.
Think of it this way. If I've got the talent, the athletic talent and ability on my roster to win games, not even necessarily that I'm running complex offenses or complex defenses, I'm just lining up more predators across the ball from you, then at the end of the day, it's easier for me to now recruit and get that raw athletic talent. So I think that's why I say it's 65% of college coaching. My bad, Jimmy, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that number. Y'all like how you just be picking numbers out. But, the thing about it is I know people that have went to Ohio State. It's crazy because with Ohio State, it doesn't even matter if they compete. As long as they beat Michigan, that's all they care about. Like Michigan and Ohio State hate each other to the point where they don't even care about their season. As long as they, like, when they play each other, one school wins, and, you know, that's Michigan's goal and that's Ohio State's goal. I don't know how it got that
it's
way.
It's crazy that they've minimized themselves down to that because Ohio State is a perennial contender and, you know, the fans.
Yeah. They were until they start getting tattoos. But anyway, go ahead.
They're about to be back. So, the tat man giveth and the tat man receiveth. That's it for hot topics. Let's talk about some NFL rap. Let's recap the Super Bowl, give our final thoughts, and then, you know, talk about a few things that's happening this week in the NFL. So the NFL is brought to you by Fanatics. For the best in your favorite team's merchandise and apparel, shop Fanatics. Shopping Fanatics is easy. Just go to our site, warroomsports.com, and click on the Fanatics logo on our main page or on our sponsors page, and get the latest in NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB, NCAA gear, and more. So final thoughts, fellas, Super Bowl 47. First of all, you know, before we even do that, because we haven't done this yet, and I don't know why, but, you know, congratulations to the Baltimore Ravens for winning Super Bowl 47. They were labeled a few weeks ago as a team of destiny. And, you know, not a lot of times do you hear that label thrown around and the team actually ends up winning. So congratulations to the Ravens for sticking it out. Bringing another one home to Charm City. The parade was just as ignorant as y'all would expect it to be in Baltimore. Did y'all see the footage of the parade, man?
Yeah.
First of all,
yeah,
Ray Rice
saw...
like fell off the podium or the stage or whatever.
Two tickets to paradise.
Yo, I think the stadium filled up, so I saw some footage on YouTube of people
climbing
a fence.
They let them out the
like
zoo. They let them
like
out
100 people.
Climbing
of course,
the
they
gate.
Were our people.
Of course.
Oh,
who would it be? And it was school age kids because they had uniform pants on. So they was just scaling the gate.
Where they were scaling
looked
pretty dangerous. A few dudes needed to be pulled up.
Yeah, when you look at the younger generation, I'm talking like 25 and under, and in this case, they look like teenagers. It becomes difficult to scale gates like that if your pants are halfway down around your thighs. So it was a crap sham mockery, man.
All right, so observations from the game. PJ, what did you see during the game? What players stood out, good and bad? You know, why did it shake down the way it did? What's your story?
Man, it was almost like the tale of – it was like almost like two games, in my opinion. I mean, it was Baltimore's dominance. Then Sean Payton pulled the cord to the electricity. And then it was another game. And after, 45 minutes, then the 49ers got back into it. And it's weird because when I look at the 49ers, I feel like every playoff game they got down by a substantial amount and then came back. Like, they really start slow for whatever reason. But it was dominance by Baltimore. I mean, from special teams, offensively, defensively. I don't know what happened to my man Frank Gore. He put a couple moves on Ray Lewis, though, in the hole. But that ain't hard to be in here, but still. And then the comeback, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. The player probably that stood out to me the most, I would say from Baltimore side, it was probably Joe Flacco and Anquan Boldin. And actually, is the boy's name Jacoby Jones?
The returner,
Jacoby.
Yeah, returner. Yeah, Jacoby had a couple
Flash
big plays.
Yeah, he
even more than Vice Grips to me because the touchdown that he caught that was underthrown like ridiculously, but it helped him. And then the return,
shook a couple dudes after he
right. And the return at the beginning of the half, that kind of like that would have been it. That would have been Startman on their necks. I think the 49ers would have lost by about 60 if Sean Payton didn't pull the cord on the light.
Yo, I agree 100% with PJ when he says it seemed like two games. And it's not just because it was one-sided each half towards a different team. Because, you know, after a 30-35-minute halftime, you come back for a play, and then you have another 35-minute break. Like, it really did seem like we were starting over, you know, when the game started back up. And Baltimore forgot to show up for the second half. Like, during the pregame show the other day, like, the stuff that we were saying, it kind of played out exactly that way because of what PJ was saying of how the 49ers all playoff long have been, you know, digging themselves into a hole and fighting out of it. I thought that Baltimore, in order to play with this team, definitely had to get an early lead and a big lead, and they went out there and they did that. I don't know, man. Like, I hear Jimmy and I coming back from where we were. We're listening to who are we listening to, Jim? Colin Cowherd. And he seemed to be blaming everything that happened from the 49ers' perspective on Colin Kaepernick. And for a pseudo rookie,
like...
I think Colin Kaepernick, I think he actually played a very good game. It just took him a while to get going, and you know, to get his nerves up from under him. But I think he played a very good game.
Well, here's the thing. You got to understand that he has an agenda. He doesn't like the scrambling quarterback. He's on the side.
Pocket passes.
Yeah. So he wants to prove that. But standout players in the game to me, Joe Flacco, of course. Alicia Keys is bubble. Delanie Walker, to me, is the best player in the Niners. Colin Kaepernick, definitely when he got going after the second game, like PJ said, started, he played very well. But that kind of like, I know it's going to sound crazy, but it made the game dumb to me. That whole, like, you know, blackout, they took away from the game tremendously, in my personal opinion. It like made the game stupid because, I mean, first off, you got to understand the Ravens are an older team. So when they sit around, them bones, you guys know when you go to play ball now, after you sit down the game and you try to get back up, it ain't the same, yo. And then second thing is this, from a mental standpoint, they thought they won. They when the blackouts happen, they talk about, you know, the parade and the fact that we won, but there's still a lot of football left to be played. So, you know, it definitely changed the game in my personal opinion. Some people say it didn't change the game at all. I think that's BS. It's obvious it did. But it kind of took away from the game to me. I'd rather see the Ravens just smack him and blow him out the way they were going to. And in terms of you Niners fans still complaining about that last play, like, cut it out. That's all I got to say about that. Just cut it out.
Yeah. Hey, I think, in my estimation, the blackout was whack. And I heard that the referees and some NFL officials were concerned 3 months prior to the Super Bowl about the structural problems of the Superdome and the possibility of electrical failures. So for that not to be addressed was pretty bad. And also, Colin Kaepernick is he's a good quarterback, but, you know, NFL teams don't have the book on him yet. But the fact that the Ravens had 2 weeks to prepare for him shows you what other coaches will have, you know, in the off season. So he may not be as explosive and effective as he has been. Same thing happened with Michael Vick, obviously, twice. It happened with McNabb and all the other running quarterbacks. So it's going to be interesting to see if Kaepernick takes that next step. I wouldn't say happy because I'm not a Ravens fan, but it was good to see Ray Lewis get his second Super Bowl, see Ed Reed get one. And it's interesting because when the playoffs started, you know, many of us said that, wow, if Ray Lewis coming back and he's going to retire, the Ravens mess around and win this thing, even though some of us didn't even pick the Ravens in the playoffs in a lot of games. So kind of is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, but Kaepernick, to me, I think he impressed me with a lot of his throws actually from the pocket. So, I mean, I think, you know, if Harbaugh keeps working with him, you know, when defenses start to catch up to all the pistol and the read option and all that kind of stuff, when they get a book out on these guys, I think he, you know, if he works hard, I think he's going to be able to be one of the guys that can overcome that, you know, because definitely has the physical tools. I mean, did you hear the sound of the pads when he was hitting these dudes with passes?
Yeah.
There's a lot of
pads
going
rocket
on.
Launcher.
Those
are like 65 miles an hour.
Yeah, so,
So he
definitely made some young person mistakes, but, you know, I was just listening to Colin bash him for every single thing. I didn't think that was cool.
Colin Cowherd, now I'm not saying that Colin Cowherd is against black men playing quarterback in the NFL. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is it does seem to be a healthy coincidence that, you know, most times when he sees that, he's got overly critical of them. But then, hey, some people say the same about me. Kaepernick, it's the same thing that all of you have shared pretty much. You know, it's about how he approaches the game mentally and what aspects of the cerebral parts and nuances that he picks up, because the physical tools are basically out of this world. I mean, everybody sees that. His 10th game in, he's still reading one side of the field, you know, one read. If it's not there, he scampers. But, you know, they've been successful with that. They were winning with that. So I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it. I think he played a good game, not great.
He had a lot of time back there, though. That offensive line was still
O-line
in Baltimore
amazing.
On the pass block.
Yo, the O-line is amazing. And that's one thing that you could say as a knock for the Niners, to have a quarterback have all of that time, because outside of Paul Kruger, they got no pressure. Now, they were holding – I saw a lot of holds on Ball So Hard, T. Sizzle, but they didn't even need to hold him because he wasn't getting there anyway. He had a lot of dominance up front. So very rarely do you see a team dominate physically and athletically the way the Niners did and still end up with a loss. But I attribute that to the mistakes they made. They came out and they had a motion penalty, and I kind of knew I kind of sensed that they were caught up in the moment. The moment was a little large for them because they were clearly more athletic and more physically talented than Baltimore.
Well, I told you guys last week that I never believed Kaepernick when he said he didn't feel any pressure in this game. Like, you could talk that all you want, but come on, this is the biggest stage in American sports. I mean, you're in the Super Bowl. You're going to feel some pressure once that ball is kicked off.
Yo, your contract is $45 a day, man. You ain't rich. You ain't big time. Come on, man. I'm not buying that either. They gave the ball to Francis Gore too little, too late, and he still ended up with like 119 yards rushing. He stood out, as I shared with you guys on our Inside the War Room and our picks. I was absolutely certain that Vernon Davis, even though he had a case of the dropsies a little bit, I knew he was going to put up big numbers on the Ravens, whether it was linebackers covering him or safeties. He was a huge mismatch, and he balled.
Did you know that Randy Moss wasn't going to do a damn thing?
Randy Moss will go deep several times and stretch the defense, even if they don't throw it to him.
Yeah, even if they didn't throw it to him. This is what I said, when they ran that play and they took Moss deep and then they hit Vernon Davis short, yeah, he was taking the safety in the corner with him. So, yeah, he pretty much played out the way I played. Anquan Boldin on the other side and Jacoby. Yo, Jacoby Jones
Vice Grip Boldin is
trash as a receiver, but he is ball out of this world as a return man. What is this?
Did y'all see the move he put on, homie, after that fall down
catch? Yeah,
he shook the one dude, and then he froze the other dude, and it was Culliver, the one who had the homophobic remarks last week. He froze Culliver and then outran him to the end zone.
Yo, and what Culliver was thinking is, as he was looking at Jacoby, he's like, is he going to do that fruitful dance in the end zone? Oh, he's coming my way.
The funny thing about Culliver is he came in to the game and made a few plays, and then after that, it just seemed like the Raven receivers were just pooping on him for the rest of the game. So I guess that was a little bit of bad karma going around.
Hey guys,
let me
ask you a question. We got some comments in our chat room. Kamal, he says that the play calling has lost the game for the Niners. What was your opinion of the 49ers play calling throughout the game?
I thought the play calling was fine. I thought it was cool until the second half. They didn't put the ball in Kaepernick's hands enough. They didn't allow him to freelance enough. Why force him to stay in the pocket that close to the end zone and make timing throws? That's not his strength. When you get inside of the 20 and you've got a quarterback who's a one-read guy, there's no point in dropping him back and making him try and find and run some progressions. Let him run. Let him do what he – but
outside
saying
that he's a one-read guy, Austin was exactly correct, because on that last drive, they went to Crabtree like three times in a row.
Yeah,
like he didn't even look anywhere else. He went to Crabtree.
Him and Crab, yo, they work out together. They eat dinner together. That's his homie. That's all he sees.
When they had an illegal formation on the first play of the Super Bowl, I knew it was going to be a long night for them. Yeah,
game was over after the first play, yo.
And like you said earlier, Brad, not enough. They didn't get Francis Gore the ball enough early in the game. Like you said, it's a little bit too little, too late.
They may have panicked a little bit, BJ, when they got down. I think they may have panicked. They panicked them out of the running game. And that's why, you know, when we did the coaches comparison before, I kind of gave John Harbaugh the advantage in that situation. We all knew, like, if the 49ers ended up winning the Super Bowl, then the people who make the quick judgment, the live in the moment type people, they would have definitely thrown around the word genius because of the move to Colin Kaepernick. But, you know, moving to a different quarterback is different than situational X's and O's, you know, just what you do in big moments. And I did
game
think
management.
Jim Harbaugh may have managed the game the wrong way in a few aspects.
Listen,
Francis,
man, the game
definitely should have got the ball a little bit more.
The game was over after the first play, yo. You have 2 weeks to prepare, and the first play you line up incorrect after 2 weeks to prepare. The game was over right then.
And that first, like, 15 plays probably was scripted. How do you mess up on the first scripted play?
Yo,
exactly.
And then,
it wasn't
then
even the play. It wasn't a jump. You lined
it's
up
definitely,
wrong.
And in terms
of their running game,
scripted.
I think it was, like, less of them not going to Francis and the fact that the Ravens were stuffing the run, because they also had that other running back in there, too. What's the jabroni's name?
James.
But anyway.
LaMichael James.
Yeah, but the running game was getting stuffed. Once Nada went out of the game, they start gashing him down the middle. So it kind of looked a little different in the second half. But people forgot that Nada got knocked out of the game.
They was giving Francis the ball before Nada left. And I remember he came through there and put either Danelle Ellaby or Ray Lewis in the phone booth and shook his face off.
That was after Nada was out, doggy.
No, that was in the first quarter.
That was in the first quarter.
I thought you were talking about the second half, and the second half is when he went out of the game.
Oh, yeah, the second half he was out, but they were having some running success early. Even when Nada was in, they just went away from it.
Nah.
Baltimore started
scoring. I have to watch it. I don't know how much I would call it success, and I don't know how much I would call it getting stuffed. Like, I think it might have been somewhere in the middle. They could have, like, stayed with it a little bit, but they didn't.
I mean, also, you got to understand, they were going three, went three and out a couple times. So, you know, and that's why I said there wasn't success, because they weren't moving the ball enough to get a first down. They went three and out a couple times. And meanwhile, while they're going three and out, the Ravens are scoring touchdowns.
I would say that was them not committing to the run and trying to pass the ball. They were trying to, instead of running the rock, you trying to get a little fancy, get Vernon Davis on the mismatches, and it was just
Vernon Davis thing was working. You see what I'm saying? When they tried to run the ball is when they were going three and out.
What did y'all think about Vernon Davis talking trash to Ray Lewis and then Ray Lewis just shoving him out the way? Like, come on, man.
I think that Ray got manhandled that game, and I'm glad that this is the last game we'll ever see, because they'll forget it. They'll forget the fact that Ray got dealt with in that. Only if you watch the game closely will you remember, or you'll notice that Ray looked old. This was the first game, even in this playoffs, that Ray looked old. And the reason being, they ISO'd and they got him. He ended up in coverage. He was covering Vernon on about two plays, and one of those plays was a big gainer. Then he had one where Crabb came across the middle. He was sunk 15 yards back in coverage.
I remember that.
Crabb's in front of him. Crabb got the ball. Ray Lewis tackled
He tackled a dandelion.
Yo, that's what we talked about in the pregame show on Sunday, though. Like, they need to find a way, put people in motion, do whatever you have to do to try to get Ray Lewis singled up on some of your fast-ass tight ends and running backs that they had coming out of the backfield. Like, it was stuff worked. But
he had four.
Ray Lewis had
his
worst game he ever had.
In that Super Bowl.
That was his worst game. That was the worst game I've ever seen Ray Lewis play, honestly.
Yeah.
He was slow.
Four tackles, one sack. He was, yeah.
Now,
you
know what people were saying? People were saying because he got off his deer antler spray and, you know, he was back to the natural. That's what the detractors were saying.
Right.
Well,
their
antler spray did what it was supposed to do. He came back from a tricep injury in like 4 days, so. Deer antler spray did what it was supposed to do. Hey, if anybody wants to call in and give their final thoughts on the Super Bowl before we move on, that number is 323-410-0012. Just press 1 if you want to talk to us.
Joe Flacco.
I know we're usually of the contingency who thinks, like, the whole halftime thing in the Super Bowl is always overkill, always too long. Is it me, or did it not seem like it was that long because you actually like what you saw?
I was drooling. I'm gonna tell you this much. I was drooling. I had drool all over. I needed a bib after I seen her, and then Kelly came out switching her little. I mean,
Kelly. Michelle messed it up though. Michelle messed it up.
Yeah, Michelle. She got a voice impediment. Yo, she be like,
that's why she sing gospel now, because you can't criticize gospel singers.
Exactly.
If you're singing for the Lord, you can't say nothing smart.
She sound like a horse crypt keeper. Remember the crypt keeper that used to come on? She sound like him, a horse.
Yo, but she sound like Fantasia talking.
I know.
She can't sing like Fantasia, but she sings like Fantasia's talking.
She sing like her tongue is short or split in the middle like a lizard.
Yo,
but why is she so skinny? You saw when the little things pushed him up? She almost flew out of the stadium
because
she was so light.
She almost did a round off alternate off that joint, like a front semi jump. Straight up.
Yo, she definitely did a steak, yo. She definitely was bad hungry.
But let's get back to the hips of Beyonce and Kelly. Like,
what about Alicia, though?
I couldn't focus on the game because of them chicks. They're gonna put Destiny's Child and Alicia on the same game? Like, come on, man.
All I saw was Kelly and Alicia, boy. Oh man.
We had that
inaudible pause, folks, because the thoughts were not proper for on the radio. So let's keep
listen. Like next year, we spoke about the cold weather Super Bowl. They're actually thinking about not even having, you know, live outside entertainment for the Super Bowl because they feel it might be too cold for somebody to perform. So they're trying to weigh their options of what's going to happen during halftime. But I'm like, look, I'm like this. If they don't have a live performance like that, is it still going to be like 35 minutes long? Like, if that's the case, then we can have a regular halftime. They can come back out and play because the commercials weren't worth watching either. You know?
Yeah, so exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't care, yo.
I don't know. They might have somebody, like, perform inside somewhere, and they just put it on the screen or something. I'm like Jimmy. Unless it's somebody else, Rihanna, then I don't want to see it.
But, you know, next year they'll probably go, you know, it's like they go kind of hip-hop-ish, R&B-ish, and then they go more contemporary,
country-ish,
action-ish, then they go back. So next year is you know, opposite of hip hop, R&B, and pop.
Born in the USA.
And next year it's gonna be Meatloaf.
It might be.
I won't do that.
She told the boy to head downtown. He said, "But I won't do that." Like, no.
All right, man. Yo, silly. Let's talk a little bit about Joe Flacco, his performance not only in the Super Bowl but his playoff performance, what his check is about to look like, and where he might rank now among current quarterbacks. Merrill Hyde said that he's the number one quarterback in the league right now after the Super Bowl. Can anybody say prisoner of the moment?
I'll shoot the fair one with Merrill over that comment because he is misguiding the people. He is a part of the 10% as opposed to the 5. Merrill Hodge is tripping, and as opposed to prisoner of war, you guys are now pom poms. That's prisoner of the moment. Pom pom. You're a pom pom.
Cheering
for
Joe. No.
Pom pom.
I never advocate. My fault, Austin. I thought you.
Yeah. I'm just against prisoner of the moment. I'm against the culture of immediacy. I'm against that, man. I'm against it. I'm a Joe Flacco fan. I support him, even though his numbers are sometimes paltry. I still support him because I see in him the talent. But stop it, man. Stop judging this dude off of 4 games. I'm seeing in social media people ranking him with Brady and Rodgers. And man, y'all are tripping.
Hey, PJ, what you about to say?
I never advocate another man getting fired or losing his job or being out of work, but that statement that Merrill Hodge made should have been his last statement as an ESPN employee. That's ridiculous.
That was much worse than Cornball Brother. That was much worse.
It's just like Austin said, like, people become prisoners at a moment. He had a very good playoff run. But it's his 5th year in the league, so we can't just erase everything that he did. Now, this could be the beginning of his ascension into a upper or the top crop of quarterbacks, but I just think we need a little bit more work. Now, granted, he did it on the highest stage. He did perform well. But I heard more than just social media. I heard some people that are supposed to be, you know, veteran prognosticators and analysts, you know, on in the media that are saying that this guy is the best quarterback in the NFL right now.
PJ, let me ask you a question. So, judging by where we are,
this is supposed to be an exhibition. You understand? That's the
judging by where we are, if Willie Burton had scored 51 in today's game, where would the pundits say that Willie Burton ranks all time?
But Willie Burton had 52, didn't he? That game he had 50,
yeah,
was
yeah.
it 51 or 52?
52.
So that's like
yeah.
saying, like you said, that would mean he was the best player in the league at that time, that night. That night he was the best player in the league.
Exactly.
I don't get it, man.
By the way, Willie Burton had 53. That was a Spectrum record. Just FYI. Go ahead.
Oh, I thought it was 52. I was there that night, but I forgot exactly what it was.
Because you forgot he was Willie Burton, wasn't worth remembering.
This is I don't know, man. It's sad to see this kind of thing happen because when Joe Flacco, before the season, went out and told everybody he was elite, some of these same people told Joe Flacco FOH.
He's crazy.
You know, so, and even up until the playoffs started, nobody was thinking of him like that. So I do understand how, you know, you can earn your badge, earn your stripes doing things on the biggest stage, but that doesn't automatically jump you over like 10, 15 quarterbacks. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I always thought Flacco was pretty good. He was a little inconsistent. And let all the Baltimore people who's screaming Flacco and everything now, I know a lot of Baltimore fans who didn't trust this dude. And he was, and a lot of them thought that he was the reason that they may not get over the hump because he may do something in a bone, you know, a boneheaded thing in a tight situation, you know. But now everybody's actually jumping on the Merrill bandwagon, like, well, I can see the argument for it. Come on, man.
This year, the man had 3,800 yards, 59% completions, an 87% passer rating,
hey, Austin,
and 48% QBR, man.
Stop disrespecting 3,800 yards. Like, that's just nothing, man.
No,
but
that's not bad. It's not bad. I'm not knocking it just because that's the highest McNabb ever had. What I'm saying is, like, 3,800 yards is kind of middle of the road, high middle of the road, but it's just it's a good
– In today's
good,
NFL.
Yeah. It's in today's
I mean,
NFL,
I think it's still good when you have a premier running back behind you because you still got to feed that.
That's what
right.
I'm saying.
Well,
like,
given the,
you know
but 59% completion is not good and 87% passer rating is not. 48% QBR is not. Come on, y'all.
He had success in spite of him.
True.
Not because
of
him.
Like, Joe Flacco's QBR was, I heard this, that he was, he ranked 25 in the league in QBR this year.
Yeah, 25 out of 32.
Yeah, I did hear that, Kill.
Completion percentage, he was 21st out of 32. Passer rating, he was like 16th.
Well, I had a guy tell me that since he's the last man standing and he beat the best, you know, Brady, Manning, et cetera, even though I never –
Because,
like,
of course,
QB's head-to-head thing, like, they don't play each other. They don't. They don't play against each other. They play against each other's defense.
They do, yeah.
But anyway, I had somebody tell me that because he was the last man standing and he beat the best, then, yeah, he's the best. So I told him by that logic, that means everybody on the Ravens team are the best at their respective positions. So I thought that's where I was going to break down his argument, and he was going to say, oh, I see what you're saying. But, no, he said, yeah, that's what that means. So, because they won the Super Bowl, everybody on the Ravens are the best at their respective positions right now.
I just think that it's crazy because I don't take anything that Merrill Hodge says serious anyway. A lot of things he said is a shock value, and the fact that we're even talking about it means that it's working. In terms of the 3,800 yards, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, Aaron Rodgers only threw for like 4,100, and they don't even have a running game. So, you know, but I think that he's around. He's the top 10 quarterback.
I agree.
It's not hard to beat, but still. But the whole thing with him being number one, everybody does that when they win a championship. LeBron won a championship last year. They were talking about how he was better than Mike. And, you know, they had the comparisons, and they did, like, little videos on the four letters about him and Mike breaking down their careers after LeBron won his first championship. I mean, that's what they do. At the end of the day, sports are slow right now. They have to do something, so they're going to make up stories like him being number one, and it got media attention. So I don't take that stuff too serious. It is what it is, man.
Because I don't see how you can just jump over a whole crop of quarterbacks. I can see Flacco and Matt Ryan. I've always held them maybe neck and neck, equal, even though Matt Ryan gets a whole lot more love than Flacco until maybe now. I would say his run as of late probably puts him, you know, that breaks that tie for me.
In football,
I say he's better than Matt Ryan, but he's not going to jump over Aaron Rodgers.
In football,
and all them
football
cats.
is a little different than every other sport in the sense that people take what you do in the playoffs a lot different than. Because think about it, Eli Manning stinks up the regular season a lot of times, mm-hmm. but when he gets in the playoffs, it's like magic, and that's what he's going to be remembered for. Eli plays some games in the regular season. Well, he may look like the worst quarterback in the whole league. He's like, yo, Eli is
look
garbage.
Like Doug Peterson.
Yo, and I think I forgot who I listened to. I think it was the same show we listened to. We was talking about Eli will play like the Cleveland Browns in like week three. And you'd be like, yo, this ain't Eli. Like, he's horrible. But he gets in the playoffs and, like, hits a switch. You know, that little autistic
some
Eli
guys,
starts balling out of control.
And
that's
because some guys
Flacco
need
has
depression.
Played a big – Yeah, and Flacco's played good in big moments. I mean, think about
the playoffs.
This.
Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Flacco
yeah.
was a drop pass from possibly repeating as a Super Bowl champion.
He might
think
be back to back for that cat.
He
back-to-back.
Might be a back to back champion if not for that drop pass by Lee Evans.
So he go back to back. If he's number one in the league now, if he goes back to back, he's like getting compared to Elway and them. The hell with Rodgers.
I got him at six. He's like six at best to me right now in the NFL.
He
I mean, that's
bad,
that's
though.
Me being ambitious. That's not bad,
yeah.
But I mean, I'm just saying if I consider the top to be like the top five, top you know 3 to 5, that's where I think there's a line. Then I think
PJ,
he's down that other class.
If you think about it real hard and look, you'll move that six down to about 8, 9, or 10.
Because, I mean, here's the thing. Rodgers is the best quarterback in the NFL to me. I mean, you got Rodgers, Manning,
absolutely.
Brady. I even got Roethlisberger over him, and I got Eli over him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I got those five in my top five. I mean, I still think maybe – see, Drew Brees had such a bad year last year, but I don't want to forget it. I mean, not Drew Brees. I'm sorry. Damn, I forgot about Drew Brees. I'm tripping.
Yeah, Drew Brees.
So,
yeah.
Yo,
Drew.
Damn. I'm talking about, I meant to say Phillip Rivers. But Drew Brees. So then,
man,
all right, let's
Rivers ain't.
I know, but I don't know. I mean, Phillip Rivers had a bad year last year. But I mean,
what about the year before that? He was bad.
Was he bad then? I don't remember.
Listen,
but
man,
I still
Phillip Rivers
thing.
Has been in the league for like 9 years.
About 7 years, right?
Year, he got double digit picks, and a couple of them are 20s and 15s. He's a turnover machine.
I still think Phillip Rivers might be better than Flacco, though. I don't know.
That sidearm thing don't work, yo. Cut that out. But my thing is this. If without Vincent Jackson, where he can just throw it up and somebody goes and gets it, Phillip Rivers ain't ish. But all of our lists are probably the same, and I'm probably the only one who doesn't have Manning in the top five because he's a sucker and a coward in the playoffs. But other than that, I mean, we probably have the same guys, Breeze, Brady, Roethlisberger. So he's still – PG, I agree with you. Six through – actually, both you guys, 6 through 8. Anywhere between 6 and 8. But, I mean, that means
yeah.
you're one of the top 8 guys in the entire league. You know, so it is what it is.
It ain't hard to beat.
But after that, who else is in the league, though?
Yeah.
I mean, you got the young guys. You got Dalton.
I mean, you got the young guys. True. I mean,
dang,
I've
been here, but still.
I'd say 32 is 32 teams. You can divide that by 4. My top 8, that would be your quote-unquote elite. I wouldn't use that adjective for it, but
yeah.
you got your top
no.
8. You got
that's
your
what,
top
that's where people
eight.
Go wrong, though, yo.
Got
you can't just break it
eight.
Into quadrants and say that the top tier is elite.
Is elite.
You can't say a certain
elite.
Percentage is elite.
No,
you have
no,
to actually
you
pick out the elite quarterbacks because everybody don't belong
no,
in that
you're,
category.
You're absolutely right. So if you take your top 8, the bottom 4 in that aren't really elite. They're just very, very, very good. And your top 4 are your elite quarterback. Even if you want to do it like that, I can say that that's cool. You know what I'm saying? But I break it down into quadrants. Because your bottom
yeah.
8 quarterbacks are just guys that are keeping the seat warm. They're just there. They're not even starting.
They're just
by the
waiting for a draft pick, basically.
Austin broke the league down into quadrants, man. You want some Robert Kiyosaki stuff. My thing is this. I think that elite is the top 10%, and like I mentioned. And I don't think that he falls within the elite category.
Okay,
that'll be
the bar.
I mean, but how are y'all putting it? How are y'all putting it in even in percentages? Just grab the people you think are elite, because if you try to make any set value for it, then some people might fall out of that, or you might not have enough.
Well, they're
going
to fall out because for me,
Manning,
there's only 3 elite quarterbacks in the entire league.
Manning, Brady, Rodgers, Brees.
And that's what I'm saying. So I think y'all should just say the people
right,
you feel
yeah.
are elite instead of putting
right, well,
set
Jimmy,
into it.
Jimmy,
so if one of them dudes die, then it ain't going to be 10% no more.
It won't be.
am I going to step up? My thing is, all right, Jimmy's elite quarterbacks are Brady, Breeze, and Aaron Rodgers is the best by far, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Brady, Breeze, Aaron Rodgers. I got Brady, Breeze, Aaron Rodgers, and Manning. I know you don't put him in there. And by the way, Jimmy,
in the playoffs.
In 2011, Philip Rivers had like 4,700 yards, man. Stop pooping on Philip Rivers, man. But anyway.
Matthew Stafford had about 4,900 this past year.
The year before that, Philip had 47 too. Before that,
the year before that, Matthew Stafford had 5,000.
All I'm saying is, I still think Philip Rivers is better than Joe Flacco. We'll see. I might be tripping,
I agree with PJ and the elite quarterbacks, but I'm wrestling with the fact, as a Cowboy fan, I'm wondering, like, okay, if you bring Flacco to Dallas and put Romo with the Ravens, is Flacco better than Romo? Because I'm looking at Romo playing with Baltimore, and I'm like, well, he wouldn't even have to do half as much as he has to do to try to, you know.
Romo's in my top eight. Romo gets the negatives because of the moments, but as an overall, his overall body of work, he gets slandered for the fact that he balls with a bum squad. Dez Bryant has all the talent in the world, but he shows up one out of every three games. Yeah, he's retarded. The African American brother that dated Kim Kardashian.
He's always hurt.
He's garbage. What you just said is kind of the same thing we just talked about. He nuts up in the big moments. It's like he's an anti-Eli Manning. He'll play a flawless game, but in the big moments, he'll like throw the ball to the wrong team.
That's why he's eight and not higher.
So
I have him in the top 8%.
And now if you combine him and Eli, you got a quarterback.
For real. Hey, what somebody brought up is that, like, we'll be in a situation, like, in the regular season, like, week 11 or 12, where Romo will, like, you know, have all these comebacks and string together, like, four or five games to get us to that last game so we do have a chance and then nut up. So it's like everybody forgets about the four.
So, Austin, to me, it's sort of like you were so critical of LeBron for the same thing, but you're not holding Romo to that same standard. When LeBron was
I really don't care about Tony Romo. Like,
it's tough
really
to compare basketball
and
football sometimes, though, because you have so many other moving parts in football. Like, you have really 22 other players in football, where in basketball it's only five. Now, your impact is diminished a little bit.
LeBron controlled the outcome of those games way more than any football player would.
Right. Because you figure in basketball, you play offense and defense, just for example,
But what I'm saying is to say that, you know, well, this guy, he plays well and then he'll make the mistake at the wrong. I mean,
you're just saying athlete who's not clutch.
Even if he doesn't, if Romo throws a touchdown with 2 minutes left and the other team drives down the field and score and win the game, people still going to say Romo didn't get it done. You've seen it before.
LeBron,
Romo can't jump out there on defense and help him out. So
I wouldn't say
instances.
Romo's not clutch. I don't call him clutch.
Romo's clutch.
He's not clutch, though. I wouldn't call him not clutch because I've seen him lead a lot of comebacks. And just like Devin said, if something goes wrong and they happen to lose, if he puts them up with a minute 30 left and somebody comes down and kicks a field goal, guess what? It's Romo's fault. Like, he catches hell for stuff that's outside of his control. Like,
he's not to blame, man. Come on, man. He's done some dumbass stuff in clutch moments. That game against D.C. this past year, that was one of the worst passes he threw the entire year.
That game was inexcusable. I still think he takes too much of the blame
sometimes when he doesn't choke.
Yeah.
It's that fumble that messed up his
worst
career.
He's ever
choked
done.
Anyway.
The DC game was the only time he's nutted up in a meaningful playoff-type winner-go-home situation. That's the only time.
How about when he messed the snap up?
That don't count, man.
Does that count as a
count.
Quarterback?
I wouldn't count that because
no,
he's
just
getting the snap.
Saying, that don't even
count.
Man. It was Romo. I'm just saying.
Unfortunately, that's what started Romo with everybody having this perception of him nutting up because of that fumbled snap.
It's a bad rap, man. But, a bad rap.
He definitely gets a bad rap. He definitely, like, it's two sides to it. He definitely messes up in some big situations, but
I swear it's
not as many as people will give him credit for. He just got that thing. Like, he plays for that team that everybody wants to see lose.
No.
So when they lose, you know, they're going to call him everything in the book.
Here's my thing, gentlemen. My personal thing is this. I've defended him for years, and every time I do it, he gets on the national stage. And he always seems to do it on a national game and does some of the dumbest things. Yo, I can't defend him no more. I'm just not even talking about Romo no more, y'all.
I don't want to.
You think Flacco better than Romo?
Huh?
You got Flacco better than Romo?
I got Flacco better than Peyton Manning. But anyway, man.
You crazy, yo.
All right, somebody take
the. He's a coward in a numbskull in the playoffs. But anyway,
take the fast sauce off of Jimmy's tail, off his computer.
I'm
and
keeping it real. Peyton Manning is a coward. Coward. I hate that dude.
You're about
I
to break
something
over there.
I'm gonna smack him right in his face. My fault. Yo. Anyway,
hurt his neck,
let's talk some hoops, man. It's, real quick though. Devil PJ, tell us about to get in touch with us real fast.
All right, if y'all want to get in touch with us, it's real easy, real easy. All y'all got to do is, there's a couple things you can do. You can check out our website, warroomsports.com. You can email us, info@warroomsports. Man, listen, I'm here in the media segment trying to get my list right. Mm-hmm. Dad, finish me off.
We good. If anybody wants to call in and rap to us about any of the topics going on today, just hit us at 323-410-0012. We see the chat room is popping, Facebook is popping, so we can just go ahead and move on to the B-ball segment.
Absolutely, let's talk some hoops, yo. And for those
Mike Vick
don't
is still
know,
an Eagle for now.
Yo, Mike Vick is one of the top 16 quarterbacks in the league. Anyway, let's talk some basketball, though, yo. And the basketball is actually brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, your Android phone, your BlackBerry, your Palm phone. If you so happen to have a BlackBerry or Palm phone, kill yourself. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Click on the Stitcher logo on our website, and you know, or you can go to stitcher.com/thewarroom. That's one word. And use the coupon code The War Room. It will enter you into a contest to win millions and millions of money. Now, gentlemen, let's talk about All Star Saturday Night and the Rising Stars Draft. That's actually tonight on TNT.
What's going on now?
Shut up, ladies.
So, man, what do you guys think about All Star Saturday Night overall? Is this something that you guys look forward to more than the game?
Not anymore.
I'm not going to front. The contests aren't what they used to be, but I'm not going to, you know, sit here and lie as if I don't go sit down and watch the stuff. So it's still cool for me, man. Something to do.
Yeah. What's your favorite event from All-Star Saturday Night?
Can't really say it's the dunk contest. I don't know
rookie
if I
game.
I mean,
yo,
yeah.
3-point contest,
well,
yo.
Rookie game and a 3-point contest.
3-point contest is at work. Anyway, man, I just wanted to get your thoughts on that real quick. Because
ain't the rookie game on a Friday, though? That's not on Saturday.
Yeah, the rookie game is on a Friday.
I
don't know what you're talking about. Yo, anyway, man, NBA players of the week, man. Nate Robinson and David Lee. That just sounds hilarious.
Mighty
the players of the week are Nate Robinson and David Lee. Yeah,
Nate Robinson's funny more than David Lee, because David Lee, this is his second time winning this year.
David Lee be balling.
Glitch back on NBA 2K. He's a glitch man. Go ahead,
yeah. All right. Nate Robinson, quote unquote, led the Bulls to a 3-1 week. Had road wins over Atlanta and Milwaukee. Here we go again. He averaged 17.8 points, 2.5 steals, and he was third in the conference with 6.8 assists. He scored in double figures in 10 consecutive games. I mean, that's impressive for some players, but it's not really impressing me. He was player of the week, averaging 17 points. Like, what's the world coming to? David Lee only averaged 18 points, but he supplemented that with 14 rebounds, almost 8 assists, and the Warriors went 4-0. They were taking no prisoners last week. He posted a point rebound double-double in every game. And he leads the league in double-doubles. He has 31 this year. So, you know, the Warriors are getting it in, man. The Warriors are 30-17 right now.
Shout out to Mark Jackson.
Fifth in the conference. Yeah, shout out to Mark Jackson.
They're bringing the light-skinned backcourt back.
You know what? When Mark Jackson, when they kept saying Mark Jackson getting passed over for all these jobs, I was the main one out there saying, like, what the hell has Mark Jackson done in the coaching ranks for everybody to think he deserves a job?
Right.
So I still stand by that. Like, you know, I'm not saying he deserved the job, but he's damn sure doing a good job with the job that he ended up getting.
He had a good AAU team. David Lee is the best boring player in the league, yo.
He is definitely boring. He does not do anything exciting. He's a I don't even, I was going to say a poor man's Tim Duncan, but that's insulting to Tim.
No,
he's definitely
like,
very boring.
He's like, you know, remember Chris Gatlin? Chris Gatlin used to put up like 20-10, and you don't even remember him? Yo, boring-ass 20-10. He's like Chris
Gatlin. And Chris Gatlin never started, though.
Never started.
Your bench giving you like
20-10.
Yeah, he was giving out
man.
That. He was
come
giving
off the
out
bench.
That work.
He got no respect.
Man,
no matter how many points he came off the bench and scored, he still got traded the next year. Like,
I
can't. He played for everybody.
Like 52 teams. I can't call myself a Nate Robinson fan, but I'm a Nate supporter, man. He's a little entertaining, little manga.
Yeah,
I
like
would,
Nate Robinson.
I would,
I like
but I don't
Robinson
like the fact that he won that dunk contest. I hold that against him. So,
like,
I know that's not fair, but.
With
fair.
Derrick Rose coming back, I like Nate Robinson being like our sixth man for next season, and just bringing energy because what it is,
next
he doesn't get tired, and
Heinrich
is like wearing down, like Kirk Heinrich wearing down, so Nate Robinson basically taking all his minutes. So shout out to him.
Yeah. Anyway, man,
little dude be blocking shots too.
And he'd be blind. That little dude be mad. He's
yo,
a freak.
I don't know if y'all remember, but I remember he was in college. He was a dope cornerback. Like, he played
corner.
Yeah, he was.
For Washington.
Anyway, man.
For Washington.
Like you guys said, the Rising Stars draft is going on right now. On
Let's talk about the Lakers and their injury to the front court. Paul Gasol has the Devin McMillan injury.
His is worse. He tore his joint. Remember when I said plantar fasciitis, it feels like your heel is ripping? Dude's heel really ripped. His joint really ripped. So he need to get Dr. Monique Rowe from Alexandria Podiatry Associates.
Shout out
job.
To the good foot doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
and Dwight Howard is struggling with a shoulder injury. He's day-to-day.
He's struggling with emotional injury.
Yeah, he's struggling,
like,
he's struggling with
like,
menstruation more than once a week.
I got
cramps.
I have Kobe's comments, Jimmy. Kobe, you know, well, we'll talk about the whole thing with them talking to the media in a second, but Kobe said, we don't have time for Dwight's shoulder to heal. We need some urgency. He said, we need some urgency. He said, Dwight worries too much about what people think. I told him, you can't worry about that. It's holding you back. He says, okay, but it's always hovering around him. He just wants people to like him. He doesn't want to let anybody down, and that gets him away from doing what he should be doing. He's never been in a position where someone is driving him as hard as I am, as hard as this organization is. It's win a championship or everything is a complete failure. That's just how the Lakers do it, and that's foreign to him. When you think about it, there aren't many organizations that look at it that way. There are only two that can really honestly say that's what they live by, Los Angeles and Boston. Yo, why is Kobe sunning him in the media?
Yo,
like
yo,
that?
Yo,
yo,
yo. If you are
fatherless,
if you are fatherless superstar, Kobe will be your
damn.
Y'all bugging. What you about to say, Jim?
Everything that he said was true, but yo, before he said that, Kobe said, I don't want our players bashing each other in the media, and then went on that tirade that Dev just said, which made it even funnier.
And then Dwight answered today. I don't know if y'all heard that, but Dwight was like, well, Kobe's not a doctor. You know what I'm saying? And he went on to say some stuff. PJ, why are these dudes – I think both of them are being kind of cowardly because Why do we have quotes from them talking about each other every day in the media when they could just look to the next locker stall and rap about it themselves?
They rap about it. Last week we talked about Kobe and Dwight and saying Dwight is not used to being this accountable as Kobe is going to make him playing for this team. And I think Kobe is a very cerebral player. I wonder if Kobe went to the media purposely. Like, in other words, maybe he wouldn't have done it, but knowing that he's trying to get some urgency out of Dwight, maybe he took it there. I don't know. I'm just assuming. I'm wondering because I don't see how that's productive going to the media.
Yeah, kind of like, I'm going to
give you money.
Like, yeah, I'm going to really
embarrass this man into playing playing better.
And what I think, though, it might backfire because to me it seems like Dwight is so emotional that he might even just go completely in the other direction.
Kill himself.
And you can tell how uncomfortable because, like you said, I heard those comments today. I heard Dwight's response when the reporter asked them at practice or wherever they were. And he was really – he seemed offended, uncomfortable, upset. Like you said, he was like, Kobe's not a doctor. I'm like, yo, I don't know how this is getting good, but I think what Kobe was trying to do – real quick, I just think what Kobe was trying to do was maybe say, I'm going to put it out in the media to, like, really, you know, make him more accountable or maybe try to embarrass him into performing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yo,
as
a Lakers fan,
as a Lakers
fan, I was so excited when they got Dwight. I'm like, yes. Now, outside of this season, I thought we had that piece moving forward to keep us competitive.
Right.
But as I watch him, it's like Kobe is telling the truth. It's so obvious that Dwight is, like Austin likes to always say, he's from this generation who everybody cares about what others think. He wants to be everybody's friend. And it's like he's physically imposing, but he doesn't play to his capability. If he had a mean streak and really, like, stopped caring what people think, he would dominate the entire league.
You know what, Jimmy, though?
I don't think he's built to play for the Lakers. Let's put it that way.
When it comes to you, Jimmy, I think this is Dwight right here.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
and I say that because before he came to the Lakers, you know what I'm saying, you had started to kind of see him for that. But, you know, I'm not knocking you because if he come to my team, I'm going to be hyped too. But now I think he's proving to you that he is
what you started to think
he was before he came
here.
But he kind of fooled everybody.
It's one of those things that when he played for Orlando, it's just, I mean, this is like, Kobe was so honest in what he said. Do I think he should have said it? Probably not, but he was so honest. It's like, when you play for Orlando, I watched him some games in Orlando, and I honestly thought he was the best player in the league. But again, there's no pressure on him to play in Orlando. It's like, whether they win or lose, it kind of doesn't matter. So he goes out there and he plays his game, but when the pressure's on, everybody is not built to play for the Lakers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because like Kobe said, they're one of the only teams that, you know, was championship or bust. Everybody can't handle that.
He said them and the Celtics.
Jody Meeks is built for a Jody shooting.
But, yeah, as far as how, you know, he looks like the best player in the league sometimes there because, I mean, truthfully, when you're rocking with a roster like he had his last few years in Orlando – I don't know.
Right.
You know, it's like my man said.
It ain't hard to be in here, but still.
Even the intensity that he brought to the game is different. Like, it's like he doesn't give the same energy. Now, again, he's coming off a back.
I think it might be the injuries, though, man. Back, shoulder. That's that kind of stuff that stops you from hustling.
Hard. If I have back surgery, I sit out 2 years, but, you know, it is what it is.
I don't think he got his heating pad at night when he go home to lay down in bed, his heating pad and tea.
In the fetal position.
I couldn't sleep myself last night because my back was hurting, man. I feel your pain, Dwight, man.
Anyway, man.
Yo,
let me ask
this
you guys
is crazy,
question,
though.
Man.
This is like a soap opera.
Saul, Duke.
Yeah.
Saul,
and then you got Gasol, who's out 4 to 6 weeks, man. It's like it's piling up on these dudes, man. They
got
to do something. That's why Kobe's so urgent with it. That's why he's
right.
so desperate to embarrass
yep.
the dude and make him play better because he knows now Gasol's out. He needs this cat.
This is his last stand.
We got the up-and-coming star, my man Earl Clark, man.
Earl Clark
was Asian. Never mind. Yo.
Cornbread Earl.
Yo, Kobe took it back in the time machine the other night on Gerald Wallace's ass.
Oh,
no!
I told you, he upgraded.
Ooh,
he did this one crossover, man, on Gerald Wallace. Man, Gerald Wallace's face got dumber looking than it normally looks. Like, he couldn't he closed his mouth, and you know he can't close his mouth. He crossed
yo,
him too hard, he closed his mouth.
Like, I used to say back in the day, PJ, yo, he showed him the monkey, man.
Yeah, he showed him the monkey ate baboon, like the boy said,
yo,
do the right
him,
thing when he was talking about black people. But I digress.
He gave him them handles, man.
He did.
Whoever's out of hand, I'm going to give them handles.
Yeah.
Light them up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, to God.
Whoever's out of hand, I'm going to give them handles.
There's not enough Kobe hate in this episode, so I'm going to just go ahead and say that he shoots too much and he doesn't pass the ball and he doesn't make his teammates better. For all of our listeners out there that don't like the dude and think that he shoots too much and he doesn't pass the ball and he's only won 5 championships. He didn't get 7 like Robert Horry.
Yo, Kobe,
why
did he
bang like that? Why didn't he keep replaying it? That bang on when he drove by Gerald Wallace and like he was
getting banged because you're not going
to
get too much of that.
Yeah,
so
you ain't
got to show it 92
to 17 years in, man. 17 years in, you ain't supposed to be able to do that. Yo.
You ain't supposed
you
to even
supposed
be in the lane. You're not
years,
even supposed
yeah.
to be in the lane in 17 years.
You're supposed,
yeah.
you ain't supposed
around
to be in
the
league in 17 years.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Who?
Listen,
too.
Though. Moving off the Lakers, man, let's talk about the San Antonio Spurs. It's funny how the Lakers lose, but we love talking about them. The Spurs famously win. And we don't even want to talk about the Spurs. But
winning
they won
is boring.
11 straight games, man.
Winning is boring.
Yo, they were David Lee of teams. Like, they're boring as hell. But the Spurs have won 11 straight. So let me ask
Damn.
You guys. And I hate asking this because I feel like we ask this every year, but then once they get to the playoffs, it changes. How serious is the Spurs? Or how serious are the Spurs right now in terms of the season, winning a championship?
Man, especially with the coaching Popovich is going to have them winning and prepared and motivated. But I just think athletically, after an 82-game season, they're not going to be able to compete against what's out there in the West because they're young guys. They do have young guys, but the young guys aren't as good as their veterans, and the young guys are going to be the ones that are going to have to fill in and carry the weight. So I just think that they will die off. In like the second round.
Damn,
second
they're
round.
Die off.
You make it sound like they're extinct species of like bison or something.
They're not going to taper off and then they're going to die off.
They show you how to play real live professional NBA basketball throughout an 82 game season, and that's a testament to Popovich, man. And
yeah,
Anthony,
but just not
man,
just not
ball.
In the playoffs. Just not in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They're getting
more rest this year, so maybe when the playoffs start. When the playoffs start,
all teams do is clog the lane. Tony Parker can't get in the lane, and
right.
then the team
mm-hmm.
just like they're completely changed. They look like a horrible team.
Yeah,
when
they
Tony
get
Parker
out athletic
the lane,
too.
Right. That's.
He said they get out athletic.
They get out athletic.
I mean, they did well in the first round last year, but once they got the OKC, they got gang raped. It was like. It just didn't.
Damn,
I don't know. They just made it like you just said, man. They just got out athletic, man. It just looked really bad in that series.
Yo, well, hold up though. Wasn't they up 2-0 in that series?
Yeah, because we thought they were on
the
way
to
a championship appearance. Uh-huh. And OKC said, "All right, let's stop playing." These old
turn
guys.
The switch on.
The
yeah. or PJ
old
maybe tonight turn the switch off.
I know.
Like the Super Bowl. And it was
exactly.
too long of a light break when they did the travel to the next city, and then it was over.
Bones.
It's just hilarious, man. It's just hilarious how like LA is a complete soap opera, and not just us, but you know other internet sports shows and the mainstream media, old media, love talking about it. Meanwhile, the Spurs is flying to the radar and just win.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at Bill Russell's trophy case, and most of the stuff in there is silver.
Yeah, I'm looking at it too.
They only had gold trophies back then.
Yo,
speaking
of that, man. Side note, man, I was watching this, I was watching some highlights of Bill Russell and Will Chamberlain play the other day, and they had on Chuck Taylors, man. Yo, if they could play with like any type of shoe with support, Wilt might have scored 200.
Yo, they both must have had plantar fasciitis, cause it's no way in the world, man.
They
must have had
retired so early. That's why Cash retired so early, like after 10 years and 12 years.
They need Dr. Monique Wall for their feet.
It's like they're playing in like hard socks. Like what?
Hard ass socks.
hard too.
Socks
with the rubber bottoms like the ones you get at the hospital.
But how do you not break your ankle with Chuck Taylor's on? But anyway. No,
that's why they had career-ending injuries. That's why
they were tough, man. They were tough. Like Kobe said, Dwight should be, man. They just played through it. Ankle hanging off and everything.
Dwight got 18 shoulders, and he played that soft. All right, man, that much. See that diesel when he's so good.
Expert make Dwight cry incessantly.
Listen, man, I'm just saying. Let me ask you guys a quick question about that. Considering this whole relationship with him and Kobe and what's going on with him this season, do you think he's going to sign back, or do you think he's gone?
He's going where he can see sunshine and dance and get hugs and get tea.
Yo, what if he signs with Miami for like $2 million a year?
Coward. I would, man.
Then
they're going to be like, then LeBron going to change
it, man.
Yo, then LeBron going to change his jaw to like, not 11. Not 12.
I know.
Not 13.
Where are we at? 20? 21 maybe? 22? Like, all right, just turn him off. Yeah, that's true. Like, that would be crazy, man. But you're right.
Yeah,
I think he doesn't want to be under the...
Like,
he doesn't want to be under the microscope like that, I don't think. I don't think he... Like, for instance, if he played... I know this is a bad analogy, but, like, he would never make it as, like, an Eagle. You know what I'm saying? Like, a top player on the Eagles, like a quarterback.
I got you.
Because he can't play under that type of... The scrutiny where you got the – it's not just the fans, too. It's the media, because the media is like a product of the fan base, because they're going to ask the tough questions because they know the fan base is going to respond, and the fan base will respond to their writings. And
that's what they want to hear.
Right, exactly.
He'd be good
somewhere
in the Midwest where they don't have nothing else to do. But like, you
the
know,
Milwaukee Bucks.
Like Milwaukee.
Like that.
He get the
Bucks to
the championship
like,
or something.
Work on the farm and sleep with your cousin. That's all they got to do out there. So he'd be good there. Like, no major market or nowhere where, you know, especially anywhere in the Northeast, the Lakers.
So then could he play for Brooklyn? Because, I mean, he was talking
about. I don't think
so. You know what I'm saying? Because he wasn't that one of his spots, possibly, or supposedly?
The Mavericks.
He might be able to go, even though it's a New York media, you know, they still have the benefit, to him at least, of actually being new over there. He gets to go over there and team up with a couple of guys that'll take pressure off of him. Because I don't know if it's just Kobe, because I think when it's time to sign, they might not say this out loud because they ain't going to want to insult Kobe, but they're going to do everything they can to let this dude know that Kobe's time there is short, and this is going to be your team if you just be patient. But just like y'all said, it might not just be Kobe. I think the expectations of that franchise are probably too much for him.
Yeah.
PJ said he ain't gonna be able to handle that scrutiny whether Kobe's there or not.
Right.
When they made the deal, the one thing I saw was this. I said, well, the thing is, he's ruined his reputation so bad with how he handled Orlando. He may not want
to
leave again, you know, to take that hit. But at this point, I don't even think he may not care anymore. I read a story about how Atlanta's going to make a play for him.
I heard about that.
Him and Josh Smith
Jimmy.
Are best friends. So.
He could leave, though, because he has the excuse that a lot of people are
going
to go for. You know what I'm saying? He got one of the top 10 hated athletes in sports, like, coming at his neck every day. So a lot of people, it's not going to be like Orlando, like, Dwight just ran from the situation. They're going to say Kobe ran him out of town. So he has a good excuse to leave.
That's the thing about Atlanta. It's like he can say, listen, I want to go play home. Like, no one, you know what I mean? It's like LeBron left home.
He act like Atlanta, not in America.
It isn't. He fits in Atlanta.
He does.
Atlanta
really
is a place for him.
No more Atlanta fans left.
My mom is from Augusta, y'all. So I can't. Augusta is like a stone's throw from Atlanta. Half of my family is in Augusta, in Atlanta, Georgia. So I
don't,
can't.
Don't
front.
Do that
I
in
just,
Augusta, though.
Hold on, real quick. Before y'all go any further, man, I want to send a shout out to Mojo and the season ticket because she's in Atlanta and she's in our chat room. I want you to know that since PJ and Austin making
shout out to Mojo. I love listen, man. I'm from down there,
they love
man.
The slaves
that own my family still down there, so I love it, man. The slave owners that own my family still down there, man. So
the dude is in the dunk contest. The dude, James White. That's automatic.
White.
He got that. Yeah, yeah.
Yo.
It's about to be ignorant.
Yo.
Shout out to Drew Holiday, because Drew Holiday is in the Taco Bell Skills Challenge.
I saw that. Yeah.
So Drew going to be representing the whole weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all dudes crazy, man. Y'all act like Atlanta ain't America. Yo, anyway, man. Let's talk
rainbow,
about one more
it's a rainbow state. It's a rainbow. It's a stone energy.
Rainbow City.
Damn. Austin, stop, man. Austin, cut it out, yo. Listen, man, let's talk about the Boston Celtics and how they keep winning, yo. They're 5-0 without Rajon Rondo. And I know this sounds like a dumb question, but people have said this, man, and I don't even want to answer it. They say, are the Boston Celtics a better team without him?
No.
Man.
What did Brad say earlier? Are they palms? They palms, right? The people
that
saying that is palms,
Prisoners of the moment. Prisoners of the moment.
You know what, though? This is what I heard today. I heard this is a logic that I heard today. People said even though he averages, you know, like 11 assists, they said Rajon Rondo is a selfish player. But they said he's selfish with assists. No, so this is what they said. They said he wants to get so many assists since that's his thing. He passes up open shots. You know what I'm saying? He passes up even plays where he can swing it and start the pass. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Where he's not actually going to
he's
get the assist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he doesn't do that.
So
like he has to throw the pass.
He won't swing
it
across
lead directly to the receiver.
Right.
So basically, they're
saying
he's not making the smartest basketball plays at all time because he's just worried about getting his assist numbers up.
Yo, you hear something funny though? That's kind of how I play with Rajon Rondo on 2K. I do the same thing.
You just trying to get his numbers, right?
I'm just trying to get his assist numbers up.
Yeah.
He'll never swing it across the court. He only can make the one-off passes.
Yeah,
he's not going to.
He's like, man, they don't give out hockey assists, so I'm not giving you the rock first. I'm giving it right
they
to my man.
They said Chamberlain had that problem when he led the league
What do you guys think about that, though?
Y'all think it's any merit to that?
I think there's merit. I think there's merit.
When you break it down like that, Dev, and I think about it, there is merit to that.
I saw we have the honor and pleasure of having a professional basketball aficionado and connoisseur and overseas player actually analyze his game. Shout out to my man Left Hand Lou from DMV. And that's exactly what he said about Rondo. He said Rondo's passes and the way Rondo plays the game is very selfish, but because he racks up assists, the media and the fans think, oh, he's unselfish. He gets assists. He passes up a lot of good plays, and he's a ball stopper. It's just not ball stopping in the sense that he's scoring. It's to make the dime play. You say he's very selfish.
So basically, he can really disrupt the flow of a game because you know he wants to get his numbers up. Is what
he said.
The
logic both Rondo and he said both Rondo and Chris Paul over dribble the ball. They over dribble and they don't keep the ball moving.
Now, with all that said, because we all think that there's some merit to that argument. Personally, I still don't see how. I still wouldn't venture to say that the Boston Celtics are a better team without Rajon.
Yeah,
he
does more.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
I think it's like next man up. People just stepping up right now and they're playing hard.
And also, you have to acknowledge that he does more than just give out dimes. Like he plays defense.
There's more than passing.
He rebounds. He's one of the better rebounding point guards. So
yeah, he puts pressure on the defense too. He can collapse the defense just from his penetration and things like that. So yeah, I still think they're a better team with him in the lineup. It's just that with the next man up and understanding the situation, maybe a little bit of overachievers.
Yeah.
I don't know that this will last through the season.
Plus,
and into a playoff.
Sullinger's hurt
team.
Too.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like they got more people getting opportunities now, and they're just taking advantage of their opportunities.
They're averaging more points too, which is kind of crazy.
But
it's just
crazy to me to just hear somebody averaging 11 assists being selfish. It just sounds funny. I totally get the logic, but it sounds funny, man. Like I grew up in Philly watching AI got 0.6 assists and 60 points, but I know what selfish basketball looks like, man.
Hey, Jim, it ain't selfish if they keep giving you the rock telling you to shoot.
It ain't selfish if you got Tyrone Hill, George Lynch.
They telling me to shoot, man. They keep giving me the rock. What am I supposed to do with it?
Yo, my
man Chuck was like, yo, FOH
to him. Eric Snow used to shoot in the wrong court and still miss. He used to shoot in the wrong team's court uncontested and still miss. That's how bad Eric Snow was. But anyway.
My man Chuck said, what's an assist, man? I'm trying to get buckets, man. Oh my God! Listen
to
this
one,
though. Before we get out of here,
don't tally up passes at the end of games.
Listen,
they
man.
Tally up.
Oh, we get Brad the way in.
I know. He got to pick up for Chuck, man. He's a Chuck family. But yo, listen though, real quick. This is a trade rumor. This has been going on for about a month at this point about KG going to the Clippers. Clippers want to get some more players in their front court. They're talking about giving up Tough Juice.
I heard Tough Juice and Bledsoe.
I'm sorry, I laughed every time I said his name. Tough Juice
but Jim,
and Bledsoe.
If it ends up being like a Tough Juice and Bledsoe thing, if this does go through,
oh y'all good.
All right, let me stop talking about
Tough Juice.
Everybody else is laughing. I don't even know his name no more because we call him Caron Butler.
If it ends up being Caron Butler
and Bledsoe. Like, what do you do? Do you bring KG off the bench for Jordan?
Right.
Or how do you do it? But first of all, before y'all even get into this, Doc Rivers vehemently denied the trade stuff. But you know what that means. That don't really mean
anything. Yeah, that means it's true.
Yeah. That means he wants y'all to stop talking about it while they're working on it.
But I know damn sure KG is trying to ball right now so they don't get rid of him. He does have a trade kicker, though, so... He doesn't have to go anywhere.
I just thought of something, yo. We definitely have to, one of these shows, do a segment on the worst nicknames in sport. That's top five.
I can't say his name without laughing, man.
That's top five or bottom five, however you want to say it, worst name in sport, like nicknames.
Why is it the worst names?
Yes.
Juice makes it sound
like feminine a little bit. I'm going to need him to do that. I know he got that blinky winky eye that like one eye is big, one eye is small, but I don't know where the juice come from.
You should change it to Tough Protein Shake.
But Kill, you know, everything he does is tough. Regular dudes chew gum. This dude chews straws.
Yeah,
he'll take out a brand new straw, fold it up, put it in his mouth, and chew it for the game because he's tougher than gum.
He's tough,
straw probably smell like cheeks and ass.
Smell like train smoking, moose tongue or something. It's like the moose butt.
No, you know, David Stern bit him. When he came to the Mavericks, David Stern said he couldn't play with that straw anymore.
Yo, it probably smell like... Trash truck juice and uterine lining.
You probably smell like deer urine, man. Ew.
They used to play with him, but they were afraid of him getting hurt or hurting someone else.
They're choking himself.
A nasty straw, man. That definitely has to be one of the worst nicknames. But in terms of the trade, man, I agree with that. We talked about this the other day. Like, I don't know what they're going to do in terms of the lineup. Just to try to put Blake at the three, because Blake he got a handle anyway.
I bet you this 5-0 streak thus far, and if they beat the Lakers tonight, if they really are thinking about it, I bet you they're gonna start changing their tune a little bit. They're like, hey, maybe we really can win, because they were ready to make a desperate move because Rondo's gonna be there long term, but since he's hurt, you know, they're figuring, oh, we gotta trade one of our tradable commodities to try to be competitive while Rondo's hurt. But they might not have to do that if these dudes keep winning.
Yeah. And Bledsoe got off the other night. He had 27. In other news, hey, Adrian Peterson just had sports hernia surgery.
He played the last 7 weeks, 6 weeks of the season. Week 10, he got a sports hernia. So the dude got over 1,000 yards of his 2,000 yards with a sports hernia and a newly surgically repaired knee.
I just hope they don't come out and say that man was on some moose tissue or something like that.
We definitely got to get out of here. Before we get out of here, I want to say one last thing, man. Shout out to Samuel Dallenberg. He scored 35 points on 17 for 21 shooting.
Wow.
With 12 rebounds the other night in
for
27
real?
Minutes.
Hey, Jim, it's not the 35 points. Who the hell let him shoot 21 times?
Exactly.
Yo, he shot 21 times in 27 minutes. Shout out to Samuel Dallenberg, man.
He's good for his.
Station Jack.
Thanks for,
Haitian Jack had his best game ever. Thanks for joining us in the war room today, folks. Shout out to everybody in the chat room, Facebook, Twitter, all the calls who chimed in. Tune in next week, same time, same place, where you'll be with the, you know, your favorite show on the internet, the most engaging sports talk on the planet that's only built for Cuban Link. Until then, enjoy your sports week. We'll see you right back here in 166 hours. Catch our conversation on Facebook, Twitter. Watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. And until next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity and be steadfast in the war against ignorance. I see you chumps on top.
All the blueprint.
Yo,
every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ,
Woo!
B. Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. If not, dial.
Call it
323 Brooklyn 0012.
Woo!
If you're going and you're sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, the tough sports. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip hop scholars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Sports are a secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us.
War Room Sports.
Yeah. You know? Jimmy. Dev. PJ. Doc Bay. The officer. I'm shot. I'll be coming on the team.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.